Welcome back into Sports Call here on Tiger 93.9 FM and streaming online at sportscallauburn.com. JJ Jackson, Bill Bailey, and Tom Peavy, all inside our studios here on South College Street, the loveliest village on the plains. Here on this Monday, we love going to our phone lines. We especially love going there when we get the opportunity to welcome in Mr. Phil Steele into our program. Phil, thanks for the time today. How are you doing?
You know, I am doing great. How about you gentlemen this afternoon?
We're doing quite well. We'll start with this, Phil. Volume 25 of the publication. Can you believe you've made it this far?
You know, I can't believe it's been 25 years since the first one went out, to be honest with you. It doesn't seem amazing. I started this thing at 7 years old, huh?
Yeah. Amen to that. Phil, when you start to look to 2019, I want to start very broad with you here. When you think Auburn football in 2019, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Schedule.
Yeah.
So
we agree. You know,
when I look at Auburn this year, and I look at the teams that I rate behind Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M, LSU, to me, there's very little difference in those teams talent-wise. With Auburn, you've got a top-10 team talent-wise in my power poll in the front of the magazine. Defensive line, I rate number two in the country. Can't believe Derrick Brown came back for his senior season. Linebacking core, DB, South. Number three, special teams in the country. Number five, rated offensive line. And I think they're going to get good quarterback play. No matter who wins the job, I am projecting Joey Gatewood to win it, the big quarterback who sort of reminds some of Cam Newton. But all that's there, then you look at that schedule, and I don't know if I'm grading South Carolina number one toughest schedule. I got Auburn number two, and it's like splitting hairs between them. At Texas A&M, at Florida, at LSU, and oh, by the way, home against Georgia and Alabama. Right now in Vegas, Auburn, despite having top 10 talent, is an underdog in five games. Now, with that said, I'll go back to LSU last year. You know, LSU was an underdog in five games. They ended up winning 10.
Yeah. Well, where would you rank, the non-conference schedule? When you look at Oregon, you look at a couple of teams like Tulane and Samford that went 1/500 and a Kent State team that really underperformed last year.
Yeah, and I think, well, first of all, Oregon is a legitimate squad.
Yeah.
They've got one of the top offensive lines in the country, may have the best quarterback in the country. And defensively, they've got some nice pieces there. So that's a dangerous game in the opener. You look at Tulane. And Tulane's a team where I think Willie Fritz doing a heck of a job there. Getting them to a bowl game last year, they easily could have been in a bowl game the year before. They got stopped on a two-point conversion at the end of the game, or else they would have been in a bowl game two straight years. And this is by far Willie Fritz's best team. And then you even look at a team like Kent State, and they've got a quarterback in Woody Barrett, who you guys might remember.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Barrett actually had a pretty good season last year. 59% completions, 11-9 ratio. I think he's going to be stronger this year. And when you look at Kent, I've got them with 15 returning starters. They were on the cusp of making my most improved team. So those are all quality teams that Auburn's playing in the non-conference slate as well. And it pales in comparison to the SEC schedule, but most schedules do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, looking at the schedule, now listen, you are very good at your predictions. You're one of the best when it comes to predictions. When you look at this schedule, out of all of these teams, obviously things can change. It's the second toughest schedule in the country right now, but when we get halfway through the season, some of these teams may not be as good as we thought they were going to be. When you look at this schedule, do you see a team on there that right now on paper looks good, but there's that potential that they may have some maybe not quite as good as we think, somebody like maybe a Texas A&M or a Florida?
I'd like to say so for you guys, but I don't see it, actually. I got A&M a top-10 team. I got Florida a top-10 team. I got LSU a top-10 team. Georgia and Alabama, both all top-10 teams heading into the season. So I think they're all talent-wise. Maybe one would be Florida if something happened at the quarterback position. And,
right.
You know, Florida's main weakness coming into the year would have to be the offensive line. They only have one returning starter up front. So if you have question marks on the offensive line, you do have some questions. Remember, Felipe Franks at one point last year was replaced by Kyle Trask. In fact, Trask beat him out, was going to start the next week. Then he got injured. They had to go back to Franks. But Franks was a much different quarterback the second half of the year. If Franks regresses, the offensive line struggles. Maybe Florida's that team, but I still think Florida has top 10 talent. That's going to be a dangerous game in the swamp.
We're talking with Phil Steele on the Monday edition of Sports Call here about Auburn as they get ready for the 2019 season. When you look at it, Phil, and you go through Gus Malzahn's teams here as the head coach at Auburn, you can make a very solid argument that this is going to be the best defense he's ever had. How does this defense project in your eyes in 2019?
I have it right up there as one of the top 10 or 11 defenses in the country. And, you know, anytime you're solid on the defensive line, that's a great place to start. Number two D-line, as I mentioned, I can't believe Derek Brown came back. I really thought he would have been a first-round draft pick, a high first-round draft pick last year. But then to be teamed with guys like Marlon Davidson and Nick Coe on the outside, and even a linebacking core, which is probably the biggest question mark on the defense. There's still a lot of talent there, and that's probably going to be my biggest question mark with the entire defense is the linebacking core, because the secondary's loaded. Everybody's back. You know, a couple of solid corners, and the safety's solid. So overall, this is a very good top 10, top 12 defense in the country.
Switching gears over to the offensive side, you know, a lot was talked about last year, the offensive line, the uncertainty of the offensive line. A lot of people predict that the Tigers, they'll be better this year just because of they have the experience factor. Where do you see them, and is Auburn going to get back its 1,000-yard rusher, something that they hadn't done, you know, something they didn't achieve last year for the first time in a long time?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, clearly, Auburn's going to have a much better run game this year. I mean, last year they averaged 4.3 yards per carry, but I think Gus Malzahn's offense worked best when he's got a quarterback that's a threat to run the football. And he's got that in Joey Gatewood, if Gatewood does indeed win the job. And when you have a mobile quarterback, it just opens everything up. You know, defenses have one more player to key on, opens up the run game. You're going to see the stats for the offensive line greatly improve. Less sacks, better 1 yards per carry, and they're going to be much higher thought of. In fact, with everybody back on the offensive line, I rate them number 5 in the country this year. I'm expecting a lot of improvement on the O-line. And like I said, I think that mobile quarterback, Gus Malzahn, match made in heaven. That's what you need.
Well, and now with that in mind, how important is it that Gus Malzahn has taken back the reins of this offense and it's going to be his do or die, sink, swim, however you want to call it. It's his offense. He's going to be calling the plays, running the offense. How big is that?
I think it is big, and I like the fact that it's his offense. He's in charge. He's got what he wants, which is the mobile quarterback. And now you're not going to see what happened in the bowl game every week. If you're an Auburn fan and you're thinking 63 points every week, just put those thoughts to the side right now. But I think Auburn will have clearly a more explosive. It starts with the run game. If you can run the ball effectively, it just opens up everything else. Opens up some big pass plays as well.
Talking with Phil Steele here, I was refer to him as like the great and powerful Oz, you know, the great and powerful Phil Steele. It should be your new moniker. When we look at the SEC as a whole, take us through who your biggest surprise you think will be this year. Because, you know, you mentioned a lot of teams that are kind of up there each and every year. Obviously, we know Alabama's going to be up there. Georgia's made themselves into a force over the last few years. Are there any teams that have that potential to really surprise the SEC?
Yeah, I think if you're looking for a team that could surprise record-wise this year and surprise everybody, it's not a team that I have ranked in my top 10, top 15, or even top 20 talent-wise, but it's the Missouri Tigers. And here's what I like about Missouri. Now, first of all, I realize they are currently on a bowl ban, but I really think the NCAA is going to overturn that by the time the season rolls around. Too strong a punishment for what they did. I think they'll keep some of the restrictions, but they'll lift the bowl ban by the time the season starts. So with that said, looking at Missouri, they lose Drew Locke. But Drew Locke was always great against the weaker competition and then average against the top guys. I think Kelly Bryant's going to step in. Won't be quite the passer Drew Locke was, but a little bit more dangerous of a runner. And I think Kelly Bryant's a good fit for the offense. Larry Rountree, a running back. They've got a veteran offensive line. And defensively, they've got players throughout. They're not a top 10, top 20 defense. Didn't say they were. In fact, they're probably a little above average. But what I love about Missouri is the same thing I don't like about Auburn this year, and that's the schedule. Let me run through it for you.
Sure.
Wyoming, favored. West Virginia, favored. Southeast Missouri State, favored. South Carolina at home, they almost beat South Carolina on the road last year, favored. Troy at home, favored. Mississippi, home, favored. At Vanderbilt, favored. At Kentucky, toss-up game, but if they win that, you're looking at an 8-0 Missouri heading into Georgia. And if you watched last year's Missouri-Georgia game, I thought Missouri played even up with Georgia at the line of scrimmage. Georgia had like a kick return and a fumble return, won the game by 14. But overall, Missouri actually, I think, had the first down edge, 26-18. They had a yardage edge in that game. And every time it came up third and short, Missouri usually got it and Georgia was stopped. So that's a game that potentially could really shock the SEC East. And then you look at the rest of the schedule, home against Florida, home against Tennessee at Arkansas. They have a schedule tailor-made for potentially double-digit wins this year, and I think that would surprise a lot of folks.
We're talking SEC with Phil Steele here on the Monday edition of Sports Call, talking surprising teams in the SEC. Phil, I want to stay in the SEC on the eastern side of the division. Florida's gearing up for year number two under Dan Mullen. How close to surpassing Georgia as the best team in the East are the Gators this year in 2019?
Close. I don't think they're quite there yet. And, you know, a lot of folks ask me every year, they say, Phil, do you have a favorite team? And I go, yes, I do. And it surprises folks. But then I give them the answer, which is it's who I picked higher than everybody else. So I was a Gator fan last year. And, you know, last year with Florida, they went from four and they were my number one most improved team in the country. They went from 4-7 to number 7 in the country. I'm doing the Gator chomp everything all week long during the season. Now, this year, when I look at Florida, I do see some flaws on the offensive line. I think Georgia blows them away on the offensive line. Defensively, the teams are close. Quarterback, fairly close. Still got to give the edge to Georgia. But skilled players are probably pretty close. In fact, the receiving core goes to Florida. So Georgia's favored in that game. It's in Jacksonville. Anything can happen. And frankly, I thought Florida played a closer game than the final score against Georgia last year. If they knock them off at Georgia, even if Florida loses to LSU earlier in the year, that head-to-head would give them the East. So there's a shot for Florida. It's not a wide gap. So Florida is probably the one team that's Georgia's main challenger.
Talking with Phil Steele here on the Monday edition of Sports Call. Phil, let's switch over to the West. We're in Auburn, so let's go ahead and make some of our listeners angry and talk about that team across the state. A lot of the Auburn fans are like, oh, blah, blah, you know, here we go, Alabama. Everybody always picks Alabama first. Why is Alabama first this year?
A couple reasons. It probably starts with talent, and then you might go into the coaching aspect as well. But right. When I look at Alabama this year offensively, Tua Tagovailoa was the guy that basically won the Heisman Trophy mid-year, was handed to him, and then they just took it away at the end. But he had a fantastic season, 43 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and he didn't even play in the fourth quarter in most games. You look at the receiving core led by Jerry Jeudy, the Biletnikoff Award winner. The running backs, even though they lose their top guy, Damian Harris, they're still loaded with Najee Harris, Trey Sanders, Brian Robinson, all among the top running backs when they came out of high school. Offensive line, I still rate up there at number 6 this year. And then defensively, remember last year Alabama only had 3 returning starters on D? The entire secondary was gone last year. This year they have 6 returning starters, so it's a more veteran unit than it was last year. They also have my number 18 rated special teams. And when you look at Alabama and their schedule, I think they'll be a double-digit favorite in every single game. The closest one on their schedule right now is in Jordan-Hare when they play Auburn. They're right now in Vegas a 13-point favorite. I think that comes down by game time because you remember what happened the last time Alabama traveled there. It's a rivalry game. The underdogs do well. I think Auburn's going to be their toughest test. And then the second toughest test this year is in College Station when they take on Texas A&M. Remember, A&M almost knocked off Clemson last year. And that was just in the beginning of the Jimbo Fisher era. Now A&M's got a year under its belt. I think A&M's going to be a more dangerous team. But add it all up, yeah, I did pick Alabama to run the table this year and make the playoff.
Phil Steele joining us
going
here.
Going out on a limb there, by the way.
Yeah, I know. That's
very bold of you,
such
Phil.
Such a stretch there, Phil.
I've yet to hear anyone say it. So,
yeah. Phil, listen, we really do appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to chat with us here in Auburn. And listen, we really do appreciate the number of times throughout the year your buddy Chris Van Dyne has joined us to talk all things SEC. You guys are so hospitable, and we really do appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to chat with us. Let our listeners know one more time where they can find the magazine and what to look out for in the college football season from you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, the magazine's out there, and when you go to the newsstand, you go to your Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Books A Million, CVS, Target, Walgreens, Public, places like that. Just open up a copy. If you're a casual football fan, you're going to throw that thing right back down. Way too much information. But if you're a football fan or a hardcore football fan, you're going to get this thing. It's going to be on your coffee table all year. It's going to be dog-eared at the end of the season because you're going to use it each and every week. And we give you the same amount of information on Troy as we do on Auburn, Alabama, and Oklahoma. Two full pages, all the information, same spot every page. It's like getting 130 media guides rolled into one, but a lot easier because all the information, same spot every page. Now, you can also go to the website, which is philsteele.com. That's S-T-E-E-L-E.com. And when you go there, you can order the magazine, the hard copy, or you can go to digital magazines and download it to your iPhone or your iPad, your Android device, to Kindle, or even your computer. And that saves a little wear and tear on the magazine as well. So philsteele.com, local bookstore, but I guarantee you, once you get your hands on a copy, you're going to need it every single year, and you'll be using it all football season long.
Phil, we can't thank you enough. Let's do this again soon. Thank you for your time today.
Hey, a lot of fun talking football with you guys today.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Phil.
Appreciate it.